The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 21st, 2008, in Helsinki, Finland.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghana Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Savadhuta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So Krishna explains in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 21. Yad yadacharati shrestas tattareve taro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanuvartate. Whatever action a great man follows, whatever actions a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, is that meant for someone else, or is that meant for us? What is? Yes. Bhrigu Prabhu is right. It's meant for us, you see. Now they'll all sit back and let other people become the ideal devotees while I do nonsense. You see? No. If we don't ourselves strive to become ideal devotees, then those who are ideal devotees will be envious of them and will criticize them. No, we should strive to become pure devotees ourselves. You see? This is what Krishna's really saying here. He says, Sarva Dharman Paritya Jab. Now you give up every other consideration, just become my devotee. And that's his worship. And the person who actually does that, he is the great person described in this verse. That's a fact. Actually, it's amazing the potency that Krishna invests in such a person. As he explains here, the whole world follows him. So, this world, everybody's trying to be a leader, just like now. In the U.S., they're battling it out who'll be the next president, you see. Everybody wants to be a leader, but no one wants to become an acharya. That's the problem. By politics, they want to become leader. Even if you become a big leader by politics, you are still not leader.
You want other kids to come and sit here. They're making so much noise. You want them to come and sit here. Everybody.
If you want the children to learn this science and be devotees, they have to sit and hear the lecture. They should sit in their parents' lap somehow or other. If the children run and play during the lecture, they'll remain karmi the whole life. They have to sit and hear the philosophy. Otherwise they remain karmi. From the very beginning they must hear. Otherwise, they just become karmic. In our ashram in the U.S., one boy, from the very babyhood, he would sit in the father and mother's lap during the lecture. Now he's five years old. He knows so many slokas by heart just by sitting in the clay. He can preach them. Sometimes they have, in the Hindu temples, they have a thing where the little children stand up and recite slokas, but they can't use them for preaching. They just say it in a recitation ceremony. Everybody applauds. But this little boy, he can talk to you something and then back it up with shastra. Just because he sat in the class, you see. So, if the children can come and hear that, that is the proper thing. Otherwise, they remain nonsense. They'll never become proper. They don't hear from guru. They don't hear from shastra and sadhus. They'll never become proper. It's not possible. So, this is actually.
They distract everybody's mind. All the mother has to run this, that, and nobody can hear.
Whatever there may be, I'm not going to get into it. I'm here to present this, and I want to focus on presenting this to whoever will hear. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll spend the whole day trying to orchestrate who's in this room, and I'll never say a word. Not worth it. So, the fact is, a person who actually becomes an ideal example of Krishna consciousness, they will have a powerful impact on the world. That's a thing. So, how can we actually become? They'll become completely happy themselves. They'll become free of all anxiety. In this world, everybody's in anxiety, actually. We're being tossed in the waves of the dualities of material nature. You see, sometimes I'm honored. Sometimes I'm dishonored. Spiritual masters also go through them. Sometimes they're honored and sometimes they're dishonored. Everyone goes through them. Sometimes we're sick, sometimes we're healthy, sometimes we're wealthy, sometimes we're poor, sometimes we're young, sometimes we're old. There's so many dualities we go through in this material existence. So, if we allow ourselves to become affected by these dualities, we can never be peaceful. It's not possible. Not possible. See, little children, they're very much affected by the dualities. If you fluff them and duff them, they giggle. And if you're hard on them, they get upset. So they have to be trained how to come to the transcendental platform. Krishna describes in chapter 5, very nice point. Naprahyashyat priyam prapyo, nod vijat prapyo cha priyam. Stirabudira sangmudo, brahmavid brahmanistitaha. One who does not rejoice upon obtaining something pleasant, nor lament upon getting something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. So that means we really have to not be carried away by the dualities. When something very pleasant happens, we shouldn't think, oh yeah, I just see how great I am. I really deserve this. And something very unpleasant happens, we shouldn't become disturbed by it. We should think this is Krishna's mercy upon me. And that some previous sinful action I have committed, now I'm getting my reaction, I'm burning off my past karma by this reaction. And then what does Krishna say? Sthirabuddhi here, he's self-intelligent, you see. He understands who he is. I'm not this body, I'm spirit. So asammudo, he's unbewildered. Brahmavid, you see, he knows the absolute truth. And Brahmanistita, he is fixed in transcendental Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna further describes this person in the following verse. Bhayasparsheshvasattatma vindatyatmaniyatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. And I love that last line. Sukam akshayam ashnute. He enjoys unlimited happiness. Wow. There's really something, there's some perks here in Krishna consciousness. You really get something. If you're willing to make the sacrifice, don't sit, actually the doorway should not come forward beyond that doorway. Come on, come up. If you sit in the door, then people come late, they can't get in. They don't feel welcome. The doorway, everyone should come forward. So the doorway, there's plenty of room for latecomers. Yeah, sit on this side, that's good. Yeah. So, what is the translation for this verse? Such a liberated person is not attracted to any type of material sense gratification. Why? Because he enjoys the pleasure within. In this way, the enlightened, self-realized person, what does he get? Sukham akshayam, unlimited happiness. Sukham akshayam ashnute. He enjoys unlimited happiness. Why? So Brahma Yoga Yuktatma, because he concentrates always on the Supreme. So now do you see why we have to get our minds off of sense gratification? And we have to get them fixed in Krishna consciousness. You see, because we foolishly still think that we're men and that we're women, we seek our pleasure on that level, you see. The pleasure of a man, the pleasure of a woman. This is a big mistake. Big, big mistake. It's the ultimate mistake, actually. Because we're still trying to enjoy on the basis of this rotting flesh. It's a losing proposition. You want to enjoy on the basis of rotting flesh? It's a losing proposition. And no matter what you may do to enjoy this bag of rotting flesh, it's still just a bag of rotting flesh. Therefore, those who are sthira-buddhir, who are self-intelligent, you see, they become fixed in Krishna consciousness. They don't mess around with this bodily sense gratification stuff. They realize it's shrama eva kevalam, foolish waste of time. Such persons take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master because he holds the key how to become free from this material existence. So we are blessed that such a perfect soul has given us these wonderful books, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. By following these instructions of Srila Prabhupada, we can attain the supreme perfection. We can become free from all of these. Of course, the urges are still there. It's not that one becomes free, one doesn't have any material urges anymore. You know, that's, as long as you have a material body, you will have material urges. You still want to eat, you still have to go to the toilet. You know, all these things, these urges are there. You can't deny the urges. But, apuryamanam machala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve shushantim abnoti nakama kami. You see? You become equipoise. You see? You'll no longer be influenced. Even though the body will have the urges, you will just say, well, it's not me. The translation is, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace. Not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So see yourself, your material body. I mean in that sense, that Atman. See the material body like an ocean. There's so many desires, so many rivers of desire entering into it. But if you keep yourself fixed in Krishna consciousness. Those desires will not carry you away. They'll be there, you'll see them, but they won't really touch you, you see. You'll be aloof from them. You'll be the observer of these desires as they enter, like rivers, into your consciousness. But your consciousness will remain in an equal level, same level, without being carried away. So if one takes these wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada and applies them very sincerely in one's life, then you will achieve these wonderful qualities that I'm discussing with you today. You'll achieve these wonderful qualities, you see. You'll become fixed in Krishna consciousness. You'll achieve that bhakti, that tivra bhakti, you see, very strong devotion, fixed devotion. This you will achieve. So, if we want to achieve this, we have to be very sober. We have to be very serious. If you want to achieve anything, good thing, then you have to work for it. If I want to get a PhD, then I have to work very hard, be very serious, do all my homework, attend the lectures, study for the exams, write papers, attend, so many things I have to do for a PhD degree, you see. This is greater accomplishment than any PhD degree. So how much I should be serious? It's not just by getting some diksha, now I am saved. That's Christianity, you see. Modern day Christianity is complete nonsense. They say you can do any nonsense you want. All you got to do is accept Jesus. But they don't realize that accepting Jesus means you have to stop your nonsense. They think you can accept Jesus and still go on sinning. But that means every time you sin, you're rejecting Jesus. You see? If you actually want to accept Jesus, you have to become sinless. That's the meaning. So similarly in Krishna consciousness, if I actually want to be a devotee, then I must give up nonsense. It's not that I can continue to run after sense enjoyment and think, yes, I'm a devotee. We may be a devotee, all right, but a devotee of Maya, you see? Not a devotee of Krishna. And you know there's two escort services. You've heard about the escort services? You know about those escort services? There's two escort services. There's the Yamaduta escort service and the Vishnuduta escort service. The time of death, everyone gets paid a little visit. Either by the Yamadutas or the Vishnudutas. If we have lived a sinful life and we have so many material desires, then the Vishnudutas won't come. The Yamadutas will come. And they'll take us to Yamaraj where we'll be judged for all of our nonsense and we'll have to pay the price. And the price may not be to our liking. But we won't have any choice. We'll have to take it. But if you become very serious to become Krishna conscious, you take up this pathway that Prabhupada has given very seriously, then you will find a wonderful visit in the Vishnudutas at the time of death. Tamasi maha jyotir gama. Do not remain in the darkness, come to the light. So, this is the invitation coming to us from the great Acharya. They're inviting us to come out of the darkness and come into the light. Now it's up to us whether we want to take it or not. No one will force, you see. If you want to come out of the darkness into the light, the Acharyas are there to guide you. If you want to remain in the darkness, all right, you can have it. Krishna gives you the free will. So you decide what you want and then act accordingly. This is the plan of Krishna. He wants your love, but he's not going to force you to love him. Can I force you to love me by putting a gun at your head? You may pretend you love me to save your neck, but if I give you a free choice to love me, then you can truly love me. But if I put a gun at your head, you can never love me if I do that. Prabhu, isn't it? Yeah. So Krishna is like them. He doesn't put a gun on your head. He gives you the choice. Do you want me or you want to try to imitate me? So you want to imitate me, I'll give you a place you can do it. I'll give you a place where you can try to imitate me as much as you want. What is that place? Helsinki. You can sink into hell, Helsinki. If you want to imitate me, all right. But if you want to, try to love Krishna and serve him, then he will allow you to enter into his transcendental realm, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Loka. So Krishna is giving you that choice. Now it's up to you what you will do. It's completely up to you what you will do. You can remain here in the cycle of birth and death, or you can try to get out of here and achieve your original identity as a spirit soul servant of God in the transcendental kingdom. So now it's up to you what you will do. I've simply come to make it very clear to each and every one of you today, what are your choices? I want you to clearly understand what the choices are. There's no gray area here. It's very serious. Very, very serious. It's either one or the other. Not that, well, I'll take a little of both, thank you. No. If you want to mix it, stay here. Only by pure devotional service can one actually enter the transcendental kingdom. You know why? Because as long as you have a material desire, you wouldn't be happy in Krishna Loka. You wouldn't like it. Because there's no place to fulfill your material desires in Krishna Loka. You wouldn't like it. You'd be uncomfortable there. Oh, it's too pure for me here. As long as we have material desires, we wouldn't be happy in the spiritual world. We wouldn't be. We'd be miserable there. Therefore, we'll never go there. You understand? You have to develop the taste of that place where you want to be. See, the Christians have this mistaken idea that you can just do whatever you want except Jesus. They don't realize there's no meat eating in the spiritual world. If they were to go back to Godhead, they would say, well, Lord, it's so wonderful to be back here. And oh, by the way, where's the McDonald's? The Lord says, well, you know, you have to go back to the material world for that. We don't have that chain. We only have Govindas here. You see. The point is, as long as you have any material desires, you will not enter the spiritual kingdom because you wouldn't be happy in that place. You feel uncomfortable there. So if you want to achieve the transcendental kingdom, learn how to feel comfortable now in an atmosphere of pure devotion. Train yourself to be comfortable now, right now, today, here, now, this very minute as I'm speaking to you. Train yourself how to be comfortable in an atmosphere of pure devotion. That's the ticket for Goloka Vrindavan. You see? That's the ticket. You have to be willing, you have to be willing to be comfortable in an atmosphere where there's no business except to hear about, glorify, remember, pray to, and serve the lotus feet of that supreme, all-beautiful, all-powerful, all-renounced, all-knowing, all-wealthy, all-famous, supreme personality of God, and Sri Krishna, who lifts Govardhan Hill on the little finger of his left hand without even sweating for 7 days. You just try to hold your own hand up for 7 minutes by itself. You'll be, you see, for 7 days, a whole mountain on his left pinky. You see, that's good. These rascal Mayavadis claiming they're a god, they can't lift anything with their left pinky for 7 days. Impossible. They can't do it. So anyway, I'm very happy you all have come today. I'm very eager always to talk about Krishna. Krishna says like that, you know, in the Gita. Machchita madgata prana bodhiyantak parashparam katayantascha mam nityam tashyantacha vramantacha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. So I'm always happy if I get a good audience, you know. I try to train my audiences also. Just like today, I'm trying to train my audience a little bit. How to really tune in and get into the mood of pure bhakti when you're listening. To just go completely into the Krishna Katha and forget all other considerations. That this is the perfection of my existence. Krishna has now appeared in the form of his glorification. So if I simply deeply absorb myself in hearing these transcendental sound vibrations, I am directly associating with God. That's the fact. So I'm very happy that you all have invited me today. This is very nice. Thank you very much for inviting me to your home. It gives me an opportunity to talk about Krishna and to help you all advance in Krishna consciousness. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
Prabhu, you said that we should train ourselves to become comfortable in an atmosphere of pure devotion.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Could you say a few more words about that?
Yes. Training ourselves how to be comfortable in an atmosphere of pure devotion means... It can mean many things, actually. But one thing is you have to find persons who are in that mood of pure devotion. And you have to enter into their sangha, become, you know, develop a relationship with such persons. That's one thing. That's why we seek a spiritual master, for example. Find someone who is in that mood of pure bhakti. Become surrender to that person. That also means making our house like them. Instead of having a combination of mundane and transcendental things in the home, make it as completely transcendental as possible. Make your home very like an ashram. So it can mean many different things. It means who do you associate with? Who are your closest friends? Are they people who are aspiring for pure bhakti or people who are not aspiring for pure bhakti? And you just try to see how you can arrange your life in such a way that everything, at every step, you're being reminded of pure devotional service and achieving pure devotional service. That's what it means. Because that's the only thing that will satisfy the self, Bhagavatam says. The only thing. Ahaitakya pratyata yayatma supersedity. Nothing else satisfies itself except for pure devotional service. So why should we have anything else going on in our life other than pure devotional service? It doesn't make sense. It's foolish. Completely foolish. So we should arrange everything in such a way that we're encouraged by all of our activities, all of our thoughts, all of our words, everything is for pure devotional service. Any other questions? Yeah?
How do we recognize persons who have that taste for pure devotional service? You mentioned that we should associate with them.
The second half I missed.
You mentioned that we should associate with them, so how do we recognize them?
It's very simple. We have Prabhupada's books. If we carefully read Prabhupada's books and we see who's a living example of what's in the books, that's the easy way to do it. A pure devotee means that person who's a living embodiment of what we read in these books. By his thoughts, by his words and his actions, he's always manifesting what's in these books. We need to find persons who are of that caliber. We're living examples of what Prabhupada is explaining, and those persons we should take as our dearest friends. And we associate with them as much as possible, serve them as much as possible, hear from them as much as possible, learn from them as much as possible. Because what does Krishna say? Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed by the company that he keeps. So if we take the sangha of persons who were living examples of Prabhupada's books, then we will become also living examples of Prabhupada's books. That's the goal. Any other questions?
Shortest?
Yeah.
I have two options. Like, is it following the Vairagya Jeevan? Life of Vairagya? Is it following the life of Vairagya? Vairagya, or is it following the karmic Jeevan?
Karma.
Karma.
The actual, Krishna gives the... Neither of them, actually. Krishna explains in Gita, chapter 18, text 66. Give up these other concepts, just surrender them. That's the way. That way you can immediately attain God, you see. You fully surrender yourself to Him. That whatever Krishna wants, that's what I will do. Whatever He wants me to do. Like Arjuna, you see. That's the shortcut. See, the Mayavadi philosophers, they want to renounce. Well, it's not this, it's not that, it's not this, it's not that. Philosophically also, they become renounced of material possessions, and then they philosophically want to deny everything, all sorts of material attachments. But that process is a very slow and tedious process. But gradually they will come to the point of surrendering to Krishna. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamati sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually wise, he surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all it is. Such a great soul is very rare. So those who wanted to follow the path of renunciation, eventually they will come. And those who want to engage in karma, unless they become karma yogis, they'll never get out. Some people say, "Well, I'm a karma yogi because I do my duty," but that's a misunderstanding. Krishna says, "Do your duty and offer the result to me." You can't. There's something what's known as ardha kakuti nyaya, or half hen logic. You know that half hen logic. There was one farmer, he had a very nice hen that laid many, many big eggs. So he was very happy with his hen. He was making big profit in the market selling these eggs, you see. But he had one complaint about this hen, that she ate a lot of feed. She had a big appetite also. So the farmer thought, well, I have a very good idea. This end of the hen that lays the eggs is very nice. And this end of the hen... And this end of the hen that eats the feed... That is not very nice. So he cut off the head of the hen. The foolish farmer, he cut off the hen's head. He killed the hen. No more eggs, you see. So, it's a very common thing. People say, I am karma yogi because I do my duty. Therefore, I am pakka karma yogi. But they fail to know, Krishna says, do your duty and offer the result to me. They think by taking one half of the equation, they have achieved the perfection. They want the half of the hen that lays the eggs, and they don't want the half of the hen that they have to feed. So if we want actually to see God, to realize God, you see, Then we have to offer the fruit of our work to Krishna. And Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 27. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yaj jahosi dadatsi ya yat tapashashi konteya tat kvadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So we are meant to offer everything to Krishna. This is the real meaning of karma. Now, this is the perfection of karma yoga. The real meaning of karma yoga is you offer everything to Krishna. So that's the actual method. It means you surrender everything to Krishna. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, everything. It's all offered to Krishna. That's surrender. And that's how you immediately come to Krishna consciousness. How you realize God immediately. You surrender to Him. That's what Arjuna did. You see. It doesn't mean you don't act in the material world. Did he give up his profession as a warrior after he surrendered? No. He did his profession as a warrior after he surrendered. But now he's doing it perfectly. You see. So whatever material duties you have, you do them and offer the result to Krishna, and then you become perfect. If you're a father, you're a mother, you're an engineer, you're a prime minister, whatever you are. You offer that in Krishna's service, then it becomes perfect. You surrender it to Krishna, you see. And then you can see Krishna everywhere, in everything. You can associate with Krishna at every minute, within your heart and within the world, everything. So that we're inviting you to taste. Come on, taste this, follow this process. Seriously, taste it. Questions more?
Actually, this is Shama wanted to know also that how can we develop a Grihastha ashram?
Yes, by to become good Grihastha, one has to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. One has to follow the instructions given. One has to strictly follow the instructions given in Srila Prabhupada's books. And then one will have ideal grihastha life. The Vedic system is there, you see. That we become... when we're in the Vedic system and we're young, we take a husband and we remain dedicated to that husband throughout the whole life. You see, that's the way. If we want to actually be grihastha, then we should follow the Vedic system. That whatever husband is arranged for us, we accept them as a lifetime responsibility. We don't accept and reject. That's karmi life, you see. Accept and reject. I may not even like that husband. Prabhupada didn't like his wife. He was thinking he would marry a second one, because that was allowable in those days in India. He was thinking, there's another one I like better. But his father said no. His father made him just stick with that one woman, but didn't especially feel any attachment for him or attraction for him. So, if one really wants to develop grihastha ashram, whatever arrangement Krishna has made for my spouse, I should stick with that spouse. That's the way to do it. If it's based on my attraction, then it's Grihamedi life. It's not Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha Ashram means I may be attracted, I may be repulsed, but I do it as duty. You see. But now Krishna has arranged, I have this spouse, now I have a lifetime duty. I must stick to him. And by that dutifulness, one will become happy. You see. Because now you're situated beyond the senses. Grihastha ashram means beyond the attraction and repulsion. On the platform of duty. That's grihastha ashram. If we base it on, I'm attracted to this boy or this girl, it's Grihamedi life. It'll never work. It's the Western, you know, dating, mating syndrome. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. We may try to make it work and want to call it grihastha ashram, but it'll never work. It'll never, ever work. Because it's based on the attraction of the senses. It never will work. But if we take the arrangement that Krishna has made for us and surrender to that, even though I may not like it, we'll learn to love it, actually, because we'll become transcendentally situated. The key is not in the external thing. Actually, I have a good example. There was one brahmachari. This was during Prabhupada's time when he was here. He was thinking, well, you know, there's an old saying, I don't know, I guess you know it too here in Finland, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. So he was thinking, well, here I am, a brahmachari, there's all these nice girls, you know, brahmacharinis, and if I got married, then I could be happy. So he married one of the girls, you know. And then he's thinking, what is this? Now I'm stuck with this woman, you know. So he wrote Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada wasn't very happy with him. You know. Prabhupada said, your happiness is not based on the external situation, it's based on... Your unhappiness is not due to the external situation. Your unhappiness is simply your lack of Krishna consciousness. See, we make this mistake again and again and again. We think, well, I can't be happy because this spouse I have is no good. I want to get rid of him, I want to get rid of her and get another one, you see. And I'll have a new Grihastha Ashram, chapter number 2. You see? It's Maya's trick. It's Maya's trick. It really is. It's Maya's trip. Because we're trying to base our happiness on the external situation. And it'll never work. Because it's a false platform. It's like a lotus leaf. The water will never stay on that lotus leaf. It'll always roll off of it. Material happiness is like a drop of water in a lotus leaf. It won't stay. It'll always roll off, you see. You cannot have happiness on this platform of the material body. It's not possible. It's not our platform of enjoyment. Why? Because we're not the body. It's like I gave a discourse in it. A few months back. I was in the Fiji Islands. I gave a discourse there in a cave. Actually, it was broadcast on the internet. The cave discourse. And did you see that video? So anyway, yeah, it was posted on the internet. But I was explaining in this discourse that the trying to enjoy, just imagine there's a bowl of strawberry ice cream, you see. And if you take your chatter, you know, and you dip it in the strawberry ice cream, can you enjoy? No. If you want to enjoy, you got to put it here. Not... Like this. Then you can enjoy. So as long as we try to enjoy on the basis of the body, we're just, you know, we're sticking the chatter in the ice cream instead of putting our tongue in the ice cream. If we can actually accept whatever arrangement Krishna has made for our grihastha life, come hell or high water, as they say, you know, we just accept it. All right, this is my duty. Now I have to make it work. It may take some years for me to get used to this. We just have to just do it. And by that surrendering to our duty and our responsibility, in due course of time, we'll see that we're living in Vaikuntha. We'll experience how we're living in Vaikuntha. This is called tapasya. Tapasya brahmacharina. The best advice on how to have a happy household life is to be a good brahmachari. Because I always say we have 5 kinds of brahmacharis in ISKCON. You know that 5 kinds of brahmacharis? We have brahmachari brahmacharis. We have brahmacharini brahmacharis. We have grihastha brahmacharis. We have vanaprastha brahmacharis and sannyas brahmacharis. 5 different kinds of brahmacharis. If you want to have a happy grihastha ashram, you have to be a good brahmachari. See, that's the key. Good brahmachari. The whole foundation of Vedic culture is brahmachari training, actually. That's the foundation. For happy grihastha life, it's brahmachari consciousness. Of not trying to enjoy the senses, but just trying to do whatever duty I've been given and accept as my life and soul. So any other questions? Tapasab brahmacharena shamena cha jamena cha chagena satya satyavam. What's the last line? That was my favorite verse when I was a brahmachari. I used to go on the bugger runs for the temple. I'd be driving back down the road. Tapasa brahmacharena shamena cha jamena. It's a wonderful verse. Tapasa brahmacharena. Questions, Mom?
For children, do you have any advice how to teach Krishna consciousness?
What's the question?
How to advise children or teach Krishna consciousness?
Yes, they said, they just as Bhaktan Laura is trying to train, is keeping her son with here in her lap so that gradually he can learn to hear. Don't play with his son. Don't play with him. Mm-mm. Let him, don't give him anything to distract him from hearing. The idea is to keep him here so that gradually he can hear. And that's the key for the children. They have to hear from sadhus. They have to learn how to hear from sadhus. If they're trained to hear from sadhus, that will make them perfect. And that's the key. Don't let them run around. The best thing is that they can sit in the lectures and hear. We've seen in Austin, in our ashram there. That's the key. They have to learn to sit and hear from the sadhus. That will make them strong and fixed. Otherwise, the younger they are, the faster they learn. As you get older, your ability to learn goes down more and more. But the young children, they absorb like anything. The younger they are, the more they're going to absorb and learn and be effective at what they hear. So the most important time for them to sit and hear, is when the younger they are, the better. Even if the little baby can't understand one word of Finnish or English or anything, but keep him sitting there and hearing, taking in the sound vibration. Look at Pralad. He was hearing in the womb. And he came out a devotee. Even though he was in a demoniac family, he came out a devotee because he was hearing in the womb. So the key is they need to hear Krishna Katha. And so you have to be a sadhu also. So you can give them Krishna Katha. Read to them Krishna book. And you can read your child to sleep every night from Krishna book. Let them get addicted to Krishna book. Every night they're begging for Krishna book reading, you see. It means you have to do austerity. Instead of getting the children out of your hair to go do something else, you have to take the responsibility of the child. It's an ongoing austerity to keep the child. If you engage in devotional service and you engage the child in doing it with you, and then they will become addicted to doing devotional service. Child likes to imitate the adults. So you have to be imitatable by doing bhakti. Just like my disciple, Abhay Chatham. He comes to the temple to cut the vegetables for the Sunday feast. And he gives his son a little a dull knife with no cutting edge. And so the son also, he's cutting vegetables. He has his own little cutting board and his own carrot, and he's also working on his carrots. While the father's cutting, the son is also cutting. And then as he grows up, he can get a real knife and also do real cutting. You know how little girls like to have a little toy stove, you know? It's a common thing. Little girls like to have a toy stove. They can pretend like they're cooking. So the children have that tendency to want to imitate the parents when they're young. So if they are given the facility to imitate if the parents are doing bhakti and the child is imitating the bhakti activity of the parent, then he will naturally be a devotee as he grows up. It's a simple thing. You be an ideal example and he'll follow you. Just like the verse today, 3:21. Yad yad asurati shreshtas. Whatever example you set, your child will follow. If you become a pure devotee, your son will become a pure devotee. Simple thing. You want to deliver your son? Then you become delivering yourself. Questions more?
Yeah, I have one question. This is a bit conflicting question. Like I think often, like to be a sannyasi.
Mm-hmm.
The most problematic thing for me is to get out of the obligations and the duties
mm-hmm.
from my family members, from my friends,
mm-hmm.
and from all the people
mm-hmm.
I'm in contact
mm-hmm.
with. So how mm-hmm. to get rid of this thing?
Well, one has to... It's a very simple thing. Just, instead of being a follower, you just become a leader, really. Because everybody's doing something. It's not that you have to stop acting. Somebody takes up different actions. Somebody may take up guitar playing, you see. And that's their new thing they're into, is guitar playing. And they start associating with other people who like to play guitar. And they get, now they spend more time playing the guitar than they did with other things they used to do. You see what I'm saying? But Krishna consciousness is like that. It's like playing the guitar in one sense. You found a new hobby, and that's what you're into now. Your old relationships were still there, but they're less important than now. All your guitar playing buddies now, your closest friends. You see, because what you're really into is playing the guitar. So you get together with all your guitar playing buddies. Whenever there's free time, you're with your guitar playing buddies. So you still have those relationships, but you're more interested in something else. And if those people are really you have a really close friend who's really attracted to you, well, he'll learn the guitar along with you because he likes you so much. He'll learn the guitar just so he can keep associating with you. You see. So Krishna consciousness is the same way. It's not that you reject them. It's just you have a new love. That's them. And that's what you're into more than anything else. And it actually becomes more important to you than those other old relationships. And if they like you, they're that attracted, you have no problem with them following you into Krishna consciousness. You see? Just think of a guitar playing as an example. Krishna consciousness is like playing the guitar in that sense. I found something I really like to do, so now I'm getting into it more and more. People get into guitar playing every spare minute. They're practicing, sitting in their bedroom, you know. And they go to their friend's house and they get into it. And they become professional, you know.
So even for sannyasi, the relationship still exists.
Well, there is this sannyas ashram, but you don't have to be a sannyasi.
No, I had this question in my mind.
To be an actual sannyasi, no, don't jump prematurely to sannyas. Brahmachari ashram. If you're talking about, well, the first thing is you have to. No, the first thing is you. If you really want to take up the transcendental pathway, you don't have to take the sannyas order. And go live in an ashram, that's not required. Of course, if you want to do that, you could. But you can remain in your own home. You need to start chanting Japa Mala every day on chanting beads. Offer your food to Krishna. Study Prabhupada's books. You see. That's all you really have to do. You don't have to give up your relationships. But you should become more interested in Krishna than you are in those relationships. And if they're, you don't have to give up those attachments, but you should connect those attachments with Krishna. By feeding them prasadam. You see, offer Krishna prasadam and feed it to all your friends. You don't have to give up your friends. Give them prasadam. Elevate them to a higher level. Be their true friend by connecting with Krishna. Now you're their true best friend. So actually you don't have to give up anything except the false sense that you're the owner. There's an example given. What is a popular bank here in Helsinki? What's it called? What's a popular bank here in Helsinki? Does anybody have a bank account?
There's so many banks. Nordea, Sampo,
What's it called? It's not popular.
Huh?
Nordea.
Huh? Nordea? Okay. They call it the Bank of Nordea Bank, or what do they call it? Okay. So, somebody walks in the Nordea Bank and they say, I renounce this bank. He's a madman. Does he own Nordea Bank? No. Somebody else walks in. Say, okay, I'm robbing you. You know, fill my briefcase with money, with euros. You say. He's a thief. So if you try to, if you claim proprietorship of this world, you're a thief. And if you renounce it, you're a madman. Because it's not your world to begin with. It's Krishna's world. If you see, there's nothing to renounce except the false sense that you're the owner. That's all. You have nothing else to renounce. That's the only thing you have to renounce, is the false sense that you own anything. Everything is the property of God. So use it all for Krishna, that's all. And here, then you don't have to artificially renounce anything. Simply give up the false conception that you are the owner of anything. So, see, everything is the property of God. You use everything for His service. You don't have to renounce anything except the false conception that you're the owner. And that is the higher understanding of renunciation. That is the higher understanding of sannyasa. That is the enlightened understanding of sannyasa. Question more? Yes, if you're learning some material thing, use it for Krishna.
She's talking about the children.
Oh, children. Well, the children have to learn how to become... Material training is all right. But the most important thing is the spiritual training. I know the actual best program, one of our families did this in the U.S., they homeschooled their children. They didn't send them to public school. They did homeschooling. I don't know if that's legal in Finland.
No.
Oh, that's bad. Your country, you have to change the laws. In the U.S., you can keep your child at home and give him his whole education at home. Either you can order a whole curriculum, you know, all the textbooks for home study. And you can legally do that, I think, in practically every state in the U.S. Maybe you should immigrate to the U.S. But, so they homeschooled their boy. And took him all the way through what we call 12th grade. I mean, maybe it's the same thing here. And you know what? At age 13, he had completed all the way to grade 12. At age 13, he entered the university. He was so smart by homeschooling. At 13, he entered the university. And he became a Sanskrit PhD, and now he's a professor of Sanskrit in the U.S. And... When the Pope came to the U.S., he was chosen to represent the Hindu community of North America to meet the Pope. A Hare Krishna ISKCON man was chosen to be the representative of all the Indians in North America to meet the Pope. He used to be called Ravi Gupta. He's known by that name. He used to have a column in Back to Godhead magazine when he was a little boy. A little boy with a column in BTG. Now he has an initiated name. He's a disciple of Hanumat Prasheka Maharaj. I don't even know his initiated name. We all know him as Ravi Gupta.
Radhika Raman.
Radhika Raman. Radhika Raman, yeah. So now he's a learned Sanskrit professor. His mother homeschooled him. She kept him at home. She didn't send him to public school. That's a very smart thing. So maybe you should immigrate to a country where they allow you to do that. Because this, you send him to these public schools that are slaughterhouses. Slaughterhouses.
Yeah, I am teaching to my children these spiritual things, and every night my son, he is reading Krishna book and this thing.
So she's teaching, and her son is every night she is reading Krishna book, and her son is also. Reading.
Oh, that's very good. But I see he's not hearing my lecture right now. That's not very good. He should be here hearing my lecture.
Any Krishna katha or
interested, but this high level knowledge, he is very small now, so he cannot understand this kind of knowledge.
She is saying that if you speak about Krishna Katha or something, then he will sit and hear. But you are talking high level of Krishna Katha.
Doesn't work that way. That's a misunderstanding. This little boy in Austin, when he's a little baby, he was sitting hearing this high-level knowledge, and now he has a high-level understanding of everything. If we think they can't understand anything high-level, that's our misconception. If you train them to hear the high-level, then they become high-level in their understanding. If you think, well, he's not high-level, just let him hear some stories, then he'll never become high-level. But you induce him to hear the high-level knowledge, he'll become high-level in his understanding. That's how it works. You're misunderstanding. He needs to hear a high-level presentation. That he'll become high-level by hearing it. Yeah.
He's trying to read all books.
That's good. But why he's not attracted to hear? You need to train him that when a sadhu comes, that he should sit and hear from this. You have to train him. Hear it. How often does a visiting preacher come to your home to do a program? And he's not even, this is a very rare opportunity, but he's not hearing.
We are keeping program every month, so we are doing this.
Every month they are keeping the program.
Yeah. So he's hearing every month?
So
when I come, he's not. That's all right. Not an ego thing. I'm just thinking for his benefit.
Actually, I've seen this in Sofia also. All the kids were running like this. And I told all the mothers that they should keep their children in their lap and they'd be quiet during the lecture. Now, after 6 months, when we went there, lecture time, all the kids are sitting there. Little kids. Very young kids. And they are very quiet in the lecture and they weren't hearing. And the little other ones, they ask the question. Like about 6 years, 8 years, they ask the questions. High philosophy. I think your son is much older than that.
Yeah, it's amazing. These little kids, the most advanced questions are asked by the children. I mean, I'm amazed. These little kids raise their hand and ask these high-level questions. I go, wow, this is amazing. They do. These children can ask very high-level questions.
My son, he gave all answer, and we were a little bit very surprised. Mm-hmm. We know, but we don't remember this everything.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's
so he is very advanced, so he does not need to hear more.
No, I am asking how we can combine this both things.
He has
education
to,
and this.
Unless the key is, he has to be fixed. He has to become strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness, and then he can use any material thing for Krishna. But if he's not strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness, then he'll be carried away by the material education. The key is he has to become very fixed up Brahmin boy. And this, you know, shamadamastapashacham chantir arjavam evyacham. He has to learn how to control his senses, how to be peaceful, how to be clean, to become learned in this philosophy, to realize this philosophy, to always be very honest, you see. He has to become qualified Brahmin boy in the Vedic standard. What does it mean to be a Brahmin boy, you see? If he has that brahminical training, then he can use any material thing for Krishna. He can be an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, and remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. But if he's not strong in Krishna bhakti, he'll be swept away by the mundane education. That's a fact. So he has to become very strongly fixed. Very strongly fixed. And that requires your example, you see. You're his major influence. So you have to be very strong. You have to have good sadhana, chanting 16 rounds, following the principles very strictly, offering the food, doing nice service. You have to be an acharya yourself, and then he'll become ideal by your example. You're his major influence. So you have whatever you want him to be, you must become that first. That's the key. And then naturally he will follow you. You're his guru. Yeah. When Dhruva went to the forest, he went on the advice of his mother. It was his mother who was his first guru. You see, Suniti, she was the first guru of Dhruva. So when he achieved perfection, the Vishnu Dutas came in the Vaikuntha airplane to take him back. He was thinking, how can I go back to Godhead when my mother is left behind? I cannot. He said, what sort of gratitude is this? The mother is the one who sent me to the forest. By her instruction, I have found Vishnu. So how could I possibly go back to Godhead, leaving my dear mother behind? You see. So as soon as he thought that, because he was now a pure devotee, whatever he desires, immediately Krishna fulfills that desire without hesitation. So as soon as he thought like that, he can immediately see his mother is on another airplane going back to Godhead at the same time. Okay. So you have to be, it is called Patta, Pradarshika, Guru. One who shows the pathway. You have to, for your son, be Patta, Pradarshika, Guru. Now you are showing him an ideal example of pure Krishna Bhakti. You see, and then he will naturally accept you as his Patta Pravashaka Guru. And then even if you're crippled in so many ways, he can deliver you back together. But you have to train him properly. And that's the key. You have to train him very, very properly. Yeah. Questions more?
Yeah, I have one more question. Like, can God be still be happy with the devotee whose profession needs killing of some animal or anything?
So, can the animal killer be pleasing to God?
Yes.
Animal killer, why is he killing animals if he wants to be a devotee of God?
That is his profession.
Why doesn't he change his job? There's many employment agencies on the market. Why doesn't he go back to school and get re-educated? You see, there's so many. One can change a career and finish society. Are you allowed to change your job, or you have to stay in one job for your whole life?
Like, I'm a researcher. And I'm a researcher.
Researcher?
Yeah.
Oh, you're cutting the animals up?
Yeah.
You're killing them? Oh, okay. Yeah, I know Prabhupada one time was speaking to some. Prabhupada said, the poor animals. So, what sort of animals are you killing?
Rats.
Rats? You're taking live rats and killing them?
Not directly killing, but somehow after some time they become so decapacitated, so we have to kill them just for their benefit.
Yeah, I see. You put them to sleep, as I said.
Yes.
So this will be a permanent lifetime activity for you, killing the rats?
Not at all.
Yeah. I would try to move into a different department of research where you don't have to kill rats. I know there's a lot of research going on. Is it for medicine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would try to find a way to, you know, I'm sure if you're really, you know, dedicated to finding a way to move out of that department, you can. So I would suggest that you find a way to I wouldn't tell you to give up your career. It's a very good career you have, medical career. But find a way to move in a different department of medical research where you don't have to kill rats.
No, suppose if there is no option.
No, there is options.
No, because
in the long run there will be.
Once I was in my medical school, we had to do some experiments.
All right, that's water over the dam now. That's the past. I'm talking about the present. Whatever is done is done. Now look ahead. You can't undo what was happening in the past. We never tell people they can't go to medical school, and they may sometimes have to do something like that. But it's not. It doesn't become a permanent. Doesn't become a permanent activity. Many devotees went to medical school and became doctors. We have many ISKCON initiated devotees who went to medical school and became doctors. We don't forbid people from doing that. Every profession has some kind of a fault mixed in with it. You see? It's like, I mean, practically anything you do, the society is so corrupted that anything you do can have some connection with killing. Just for example, let's say somebody's a travel agent. It seems like an innocent career. But they sell tickets for the airplanes. And what do they serve in the airplanes? A part of the ticket, a meat dinner. Some of you, the travel agent sells someone an airline ticket, and included within the price of that ticket is a meat dinner. So they just sold them some meat, indirectly, you see. So it's in any career in this material world, you know, and Krishna says every endeavor is covered by some kind of a fault. The real key is offer that result to Krishna, and that purifies you whatever sins may be there in executing the duty. But if it's something that blatant, you would, you know, try to, you know, move your waist in a different department of the research. You're actually physically killing the rats. That's getting a little blatant. Try to move in a, you know, move in a different department. There's many medical researchers who don't kill rats. So, if you really try hard, Krishna will help you to move out of that area where you have to physically kill rats. Because otherwise, you know, you get the karma. You have to become a rat for every rat you kill. And they'll become medical researchers and they'll return the favor to you, what you did to them. That's karma. Of course, all the past killings, if you fully surrender to Krishna, he takes away all those reactions. Because we're all, I mean, just by breathing, we're also killing. Did you know that? Every time you inhale, you're killing. Did you know that? Every time you breathe, you're killing little living entities in the air. Did you know you're a mass killer every time you inhale? Pretty heavy, huh? This material nature. So that's why we have to surrender to Krishna. Because when you surrender to Krishna, he takes away, he says, Moksha, let's see, Sarva Papebhyo, Moksha Yashami. Sarva Papebhyo, all of those sins he's committed, you see. Moksha Yashami, I deliver you from all of your sins. So it's really important to surrender to Krishna. You understand this, I hope. You do? You understand how important it is to surrender to Krishna? Because then you become free from all of your sins. Very, very important thing. Without that surrender, guess what? Yamadutas will come. They'll take us to become a rat or to become a microbial germ that we inhaled one day, you know. Karma chakra is very heavy. There's no getting away with anything when it comes to karma chakra. You don't get away with anything. But if you surrender to Krishna, then it's all relieved. Without that surrender, you got to pay the price for everything. So, happy cruise back to Thailand. Take good care of Garni Thai.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, anything else? Are you chanting japa?
No.
Huh?
I'm not.
You're not. See, you need to start purifying yourself by chanting the holy name. You need to get japa mala. You need to get yourself on track to chant 16 rounds. You know, gradually work your way up to 16. Give up meat, fish, and eggs. You know, and offer your food to Krishna before you eat. You have to purify your existence according to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. And then you can become a sadhu even while you're a medical researcher.
You see. Then we have a Bhagavad Gita to read.
You have Bhagavad Gita as it is?
Yes.
Yeah. This is the book you need to follow. It's the teachings of God Himself. He's appeared. Come again?
Card.
Card. Let's see if I have one. Yeah, I do. I have my e-course. Yeah, every day in your email you can get my thought for the day. And you can write, what is your name?
Shashank.
So you can get on my free e-course and every day you'll get some reminder about who you really are and what you're really supposed to be doing. You can keep your career, but you know, try to move it. Actually, if you'll start chanting and offering your food, Krishna will help you move away from the rat-killing department. It'll happen just by Krishna's arrangement once you start chanting nicely. He'll help reciprocate with your chanting by getting you out of the rat department, the rat killing department. Poor rats. They're people just like you and me, you know. It's pretty heavy what they do to them. Can you imagine being used for medical experiments and being put to and exterminated after all that service you've done? They did so much service, and now at the end they get exterminated. Thank you for your service, now I kill you. How cruel we human beings are. Oh, Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna.